Let's get started. So we're going to start from the Mishnah on Mem Dalet Amud Beis. So the Mishnah says, Misha yatsa birishus, v'amru lo kvar nasa ma'aseh, yesh lo alpayim amo l'cho ruach. So the Mishnah says, let's say, for example, a person was given a heter to leave the tchum. Why exactly did he have a heter to leave the tchum? So we'll see in the Gemara, maybe he was going out to fight a battle, to save someone's life, whatever the case was. So the, and then as the guy is walking and you know, someone comes to him and says, by the way, the person whose life you were trying to save, someone else saved him, or whatever it was. So then the Mishnah says that the person is allowed to walk 2,000 amos in every direction. Then the Mishnah says, imhaya besocha tchum ki'ilu lo yatsa. If he was still within the confines of the original tchum, it's as if he never left, meaning to say that he would be allowed to, you know, in other words, we view it as if he never left the tchum in the first place. And then the Mishnah says, kol hayotzim lahatzil chozrim l'mekoman, that anyone who leaves the tchum to save someone's life, to fight a war, or something like that, so the halacha is that they're allowed to go back to the tchum once they've finished, you know, saving the person's life. So the Gemara wants to know, mayim haya besocha tchum ki'ilu lo yatsa. What did the Mishnah mean when it said that if you're within the confines of the tchum, it's as if you never left? Isn't that obvious, right? If I haven't left the confines of my tchum yet, then of course I haven't left. Of course I'm allowed to just go back to where I was if I find out that the person's life was already saved. So says the Gemara, no, Amar Rabba Hakika Amar, Haya Besoch Tchum Shelo Ki'ilu Lo Yatza Mitoch Beis Dami. It means that if you're still within the confines of your tchum, then we view it as if you never left your house. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's also obvious. In other words, again, why would I think, as long as I'm still within the confines of my tchum, my 2,000 amos, and then let's say I'm planning to go and save someone's life on Shabbos, and then I find out that the person's life was already saved, so why would I think that I'm not considered to be within the confines of my house? So says the Gemara, Mahu desema hoa v'akar akar kamash malan. The Gemara says that I might have thought that since I started to walk, I started to go with the intention of leaving the tchum, I was planning to go and save someone's life, and then I find out subsequently that the person's life was already saved, so I might have thought that maybe we're going to restrict your movement and we're going to now have to change your makom shvisa. We're going to have to change the place in which you establish your original location on Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, that since you were leaving with reshus, since you were going with permission to save someone's life, therefore we view it as if you were still literally inside of your house, and therefore your 2,000 amos restart from over there. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rav Simi bar Chiya amar, hachi ka amar, im hayu tchumen shenasnu lo chachamim muvla in besocha tchum shalo ki'ilu lo yata mitchumo. Rav Simi bar Chiya gives a slightly different explanation of the Mishnah, and he says that the only time that we say that it's still considered as if you're within the tchum, if, again, let's say I'm going to try and save someone's life, and then I find out that, you know that someone else already saved them, that's assuming that you have the two tchumen are overlapping, or what we call muvla'in. In other words, one tchum is subsumed within another. So, for example, if let's say I've walked 1,000 amos, you know, from my house with the intention of going to save someone, and then I find out that their life was already saved, so I'm now at a point where the two tchumen are overlapping. So, according to Rav Simi Bar Chiya, I'm allowed to go back to my original location because I'm in the middle of two overlapping tchumen. So the Gemara says, "B'maikom miflugi." What's the machlokas here exactly? Why, in other words, why does Rabba say that the issue is whether I'm still within the general tchum, whereas Rav Simi Bar Chiya seems to focus on the question of whether I'm within these two overlapping tchumen? So the Gemara says, Mar Savar Havlas Tchumen Milsahi, Umar Savar Lav Milsahi. This issue, this machlokas, revolves around the question of Havlas Tchumen. This is a general question about whether we say, if I have two tchumen that overlap one another, do we say that I'm allowed to walk that distance of those two tchumen or not? So the Gemara says that seems to be the issue at hand here between Rabba and Rav Simi Bar Chiya. According to Rav Simi Bar Chiya, we subscribe to this notion, to this principle called Havla'as Tchumen, which means that if two Tchumen overlap one another, I'm allowed to walk the entirety of those two Tchumen. So in theory, I could walk just under 4,000 amos because I have two overlapping Tchumen. Whereas according to Rabba, Rabba denies this principle of Havla'as Tchumen and therefore says that you would not be allowed to do this. You would not be allowed to walk on two Tchumen that overlap. lap again if it's more than 2,000 amos. So the Gemara says, Amar le Abai le Rabba va'ad lo sispera da havlo as tumen milsehi. So Abai now turns to Rabba and asks him, he says, Rabba, do you really deny the principle of havlo as tumen? Do you really not believe in this concept that when two tumen overlap that you're allowed to walk throughout the entirety of the tchum? Uma ilu shavas bama arasha besocha arba'as alofim v'al gaga pachos me arba'as alofim ama lo nimtza mahalich es kula v'chutza la'al payim ama. So the Gemara says the following. Now, let's say, for example, I started Shabbos in a cave, and the cave, the dimensions of the cave were such that the inside of the cave was 4,000 amos, which is basically the equivalent of two overlapping tchumen, because again, each tchum is 2,000 amos, but the roof of the cave was just under 4,000 amos. It was, let's say, 3,900 amos. So then the Gemara says the halacha is that not only am I allowed to walk throughout the entire cave on Shabbos, I'm also allowed to walk 2,000 amos in each direction. Now, the only way that makes any sense, the only way that it makes sense to say that I can walk throughout the entire cave is if you suggest that havlas tumen milsahi, is that if you subscribe to this principle that Rav Simi Bar Chiya invoked of havlas tumen, of having two tumen overlapping with one another, if you buy into that principle, then it makes a lot of sense why I'm allowed to walk up and down the entirety of the cave. But if you deny what was that? No, the cave is probably a Carmelist. This is not an issue of carrying. This is an issue of tchum, right? This is a different issue. This is an issue of walking, right? So in other words, the Gemara is basically asking that if in other words, we know that you're allowed to walk throughout the entirety of this cave, but that would only make sense if you subscribe to the principle of havla as tchumen. So how does Rabbah explain this halacha? So says the Gemara, Amar leva lo shani lecha ben hecha de shavas ba'avir mechitzos mi ba'od yom lehecha de lo shavas ba'avir mechitzos. So Rabba responds to Abaye and says, well, hang on a second. Maybe the only time that the principle of Havla as Tchumen makes any sense is in a case where you started Shabbos within the confines of the cave. In other words, you established your Makom Shavisa when Shabbos began within the confines of the walls of the cave. But perhaps if you did not do so, then maybe everyone agrees that we cannot subscribe to the principle of havlas tchumen. So the Gemara says, really, is that true? Veheicha delo shavas lo, is it true that where I did not begin Shabbos within the confines of the cave, that I'm not allowed to walk throughout the entirety of the cave? V'hasna, the Mishnah tells us a little bit later on, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, shtayim yikanis gimel lo yikanis. This was actually a topic that we touched on briefly yesterday, which is the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, which appears in the Mishnah a little bit later on, where Rabbi Eliezer has a unique shita that even if I walked beyond the tchum, but if I walked less than two amos beyond the tchum, I'm still allowed to return into the tchum. Once I've walked three amos out of the tchum, then I can no longer come back in. So the Gemara says, "My love, Rabbi Eliezer, letamei da'amar v'hube emtzan v'arba amos diyahavu le'rabanan keman de mivlan damu v'ka'amar yikane salma havlas tchum en milsehi." The Gemara says, so This shita of Rabbi Eliezer that appears later on in the Mishnah, where he says that as long as I've walked out of the tchum less than two amos, I can still come back in. Rabbi Eliezer qualifies that statement. He says v'hu be'emtza, and that means that the person who's walking outside of the tchum, he's in the middle of those four amos. What that means is that he's only allowed to walk two amos in each direction. So it's not like he has this carte blanche that he could just walk a total of four amos. He's only allowed to walk two amos in each direction. And the Gemara says that the Rabbanan gave the person four amos and that he's allowed to enter back into the tchum, presumably because you subscribe to the principle of havla as tchumen. This notion that if a person walked out less than two amos, he can return back into the confines of the tchum, that seems to be presupposing that we subscribe to the principle of havla as tchumen. So says the Gemara, no. Amar le Rabba bar bar chana li Abaye, umi de Rabba Eliezer, kamosas le lamar. Are you going to try and refute Rabba's position based on Rabba Eliezer? Perhaps Rabba disagrees with Rabba Eliezer. Meaning, one could argue that yes, Rabba Eliezer will subscribe to the principle of havla as tchumen, of having tchumen overlapping with one another, but perhaps Rabba disagrees. So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara says that's not a feasible position. The Gemara says, Amar le in, the shmiel le mine demar, ad kan lo pligi rabbanan ale de Rabba Eliezer, el because we've already seen this machlokes between Rabba and Rabbi Eliezer, this issue about whether we subscribe to havla as tumen, to overlapping tumen, that is only an issue if the person left the tchum for a devar harishus, the person left for a voluntary reason, he just left because he wanted to leave. But let's say the person left the tchum for a devar mitzvah, he left to go do a mitzvah, then everyone agrees that we can be makil and rely on the principle of havla as tchum. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, v'chol hayotzin lahatzil chozrin lemekoman. We said in the Mishnah that if a person left the confines of the tchum to go and save somebody's life, they are allowed to return back into the tchum once they've already saved their life. So asks the Gemara of Ha'afilu Tuva, v'ha'amar reisha alpaya mama v'sulo. Does that mean to say that a person is allowed to re-enter the tchum even if they've gone more than 2,000 amos beyond the tchum? The Mishnah implied that one was only permitted to return back to within the confines of the tchum if they left to save someone's life, if they only left within 2,000 amos. But it sounds like if you went beyond 2,000 amos, it sounds like you're not allowed to re-enter the tchum. So how do we resolve that contradiction? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Shechozrin b'chlei zayin l'mekoma. And the Gemara says, no, the case was that they returned from fighting a war with their weapons. So when you're coming back with your weapons, then you're going to be limited to your 2,000 amos. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Umay koshya, dilma lahatzel shayini. The Gemara says, why is this such a problem? Maybe one can suggest that when I'm going to save someone's life, so then perhaps the standards are different. Maybe we're not going to be so makhlu. In other words, the 2,000 amos that we say, okay, you know, if you left within that amount, you can come back. That's only if you left for a normal, divine mitzvah. If I left to save someone's life, perhaps one can argue that I'm allowed to return to within the tchum, even if I left beyond 2,000 amos. So says the Gemara, no. Ela ikashya hakashya disnan, barishona lo hayuzazin misham kol hayom kulo, hiskin rabban gamliel hazakin sheyesh lahen alpayim amalucho ruach, velo elu bilvad amru elu afilu chachama haba leleid vahaba lahatzim and hagayas umin hanarim and amapolas umin hadaleka, harehin ka'anshe ha'ir, yesh lahen alpayim amalucho ruach. So in other words, the Gemara cites a Mishnah, Meseches Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah tells us that initially, when Edom used to come to testify about the new moon for Kiddush HaChodesh, let's say they came on a Shabbos, so the halacha was is that initially they would force the Edom to stay in the area of the Mikdash, and they were not allowed to walk even more than 4 amos. They were stuck there for the rest of Shabbos. The problem, of course, was is that Edom were dissuaded from coming to testify if they knew they would have to be stuck there for the entirety of Shabbos. So Rabban Gamliel Hazakin came up with a takana, and he said, okay, we're going to allow you to walk 2,000 amos in each direction if you came here to testify about the new moon. And not only that, the Gemara says that even if a person came on Shabbos for some extraordinary circumstance, let's say a midwife came to deliver a baby, or somebody came to save someone's life, someone who was drowning, someone who was caught in a fire, whatever the case was. So in all of these cases, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us that the person who came for these reasons is allowed to walk 2,000 amos in any direction. In other words, we basically treat them like a regular member of the city. So the Gemara asks, v'sulo, v'ha'amar kol hayotzen lahatzel chozrin l'mekoma nafilu tuva. The Gemara says, does that mean to say that the amount of mobility that we're giving these people who are coming in, whether it's for Kiddush HaChodesh or to save someone's life or to deliver a baby or whatever the case is, does that mean that they're limited to only 2,000 amos? It sounds like from the Mishnah that we should allow them to walk as far as they need in order to come back to wherever they were originally. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Shechozun Mechle Zayin Lemekoman, Kedesanya, Barishona Hayumanichin Kle Zainon, Bevayas Asamach Lechoma, Pamachas Ikiru Behan Oivim, Veradfu Achareim, Venichnesu Lito Kle Zainon, Venichnesu Oivim Achareim, Dochaku Zeze, Vahargu Zeze, Yosir Mashahargu Oivim, Baosa Shah, Hiskinu Shehu Chozun Lemekoman Mechle Zainon. Basically, the Gemara says that initially it used to be that after the Jews were finished fighting their wars, they would drop off their weapons at a house that was next to the wall of the city, and then they would walk back into the city. But then what happened was that one time they did that, and their enemies realized that they had all abandoned their weapons because it was Shabbos, and they started chasing after them, and then the Jews had to run in, grab their weapons, and there was a whole chaos and confusion, and people ended up trampling and killing each other. The Gemara even says that there were more people killed during this incident than the non-Jews would have killed us had they actually fought us. So because of this chaos that ensued, Chazal made a takana that you could take your weapons all the way back to your house because they were afraid of this happening. Again, this was actually very reminiscent of a Gemara we had in Masechet Shabbos. If you remember, the Gemara Shabbos told us that the Chazal made a takana that you can't wear shoes with nails on it on Shabbos, and the Gemara says even during the week because of the similar type of a story. That one time the Romans were walking on top of the cave and they thought that it was they thought people were coming to attack them, and then they ended up trampling each other. So again, similar a similar kind of a takana. Okay, so that's one approach. One answer answer is that basically there was a change in the reality where it used to be that they were that you know that the Jews had to drop off their weapons, and now because of what happened, they were allowed to take them back into within the confines of the Trum. Then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Lo Kashya, Kanche Nitzchu Yisrael as Umos Ha'olam, Kanche Nitzchu Umos Ha'olam as Atzman. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak gives a different approach. He says the question about whether you're allowed to take your weapons back in just depends on what the reality or what the scenario is. If the Jews are victorious, if the Jews are the ones who are running the government, so then there's not really a concern that the non-Jews are going to come and attack, and therefore we have to drop off our weapons. But if it's the non-Jews who defeated us, and we're basically still fighting for our lives, so then we have to take our weapons back with us. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Nachrim Shetzaru al Ayros Yisrael.
The issue is that
you're taking something back to within the tchum. Again, remember, you had to leave the tchum to fight a war, to deliver a baby, to save someone from a fire, whatever the scenario was. So for that, you're allowed to leave the tchum. That's completely mutter to leave the tchum for any of those reasons. The problem is the issue that we're trying to figure out is okay. So how, in other words, am I allowed to re-enter the tchum once this whole incident is over? So that's what we're trying to figure out because on the one hand,
you can take yourself, but not necessarily anything that you're carrying with you.
Well, that's a separate issue. Again, this is not really a carry.
Correct.
That's not the issue. In other words, the issue in the Gemara really is, do we say that you're limited in your mobility to only 2,000 amos and that's it? So, in other words, if the fire happened to be 1,000 amos out of the city, so then I'm fine. I can go save the person and come right back in. That's okay according to everyone. But let's say it's 2,500 amos out, so that's a question. The question is, do we say that I'm limited to 2,000 amos and, you know, and then I'm stuck there? Or do we say no? Do we say that you can walk as far as you need in order to get back into the city? That's really the issue in this Gemara. Okay?
But this is a weapon that's with that person. It's not the person themselves that they say they left outside.
Well, no, meaning the person, let's say, went to fight a war and they brought their weapon with them. So the question now becomes, do we say that you're stuck outside of the tchum for the rest of Shabbos, or no, or we're going to let you come back in? That's what we're trying to figure out. That's exactly the issue in the Gemara. The Gemara is raising all these, you know, the Gemara is giving us contradictory implications about this. That's the issue.
Why did I think it said you have to leave your weapons outside?
Well, that was the initial takana, you know, before this whole incident happened where they started trampling each other. Yeah. Okay. So again, the Gemara says Nachrim Shetzaru al Ayaros Yisrael in Yotzen Aleim Bechlei Zenon Vein Mechal in Aleinas Hashabbos Tani Nami Hachi Nachrim Shetzaru Bamed Dvar Mamurim Kishebo Al Iskei Mamon Avobo Al Iskei Nefashos Yotzen Aleim Bechlei Zenon Mechal in Aleinas Hashabbos. So the Gemara says this notion that I can, you know, basically forfeit my weapons and I have to, and you know, even if non-Jews are surrounding the city and they're laying siege to a city, so the Gemara says if they're only coming because they want your money, so then you're not allowed to be Mechal Hashabbos. You're not allowed to, you know, go outside of the tchum or whatever it is. That you can't do. But if they're coming to attack you, to kill you, so then obviously that's pikuach nefesh, and obviously you can fight back. Then the Gemara says, "Uvi'ira smucha l'sfar afilu lobo aliske nefashos ela aliske tevin v'kash yotzen alein bechlei zena nemechalin alein shabbos." However, if you live in a border city, a border town, then you're allowed to be mechal shabbos, even if they're only coming to raid the city to take your straw and your hay, because the assumption is that once they get a foothold in a border city, so then all of a sudden they're going to have easy access to conquering the rest of the land. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Manumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Ubavel Kira Smucha L'Svar Damya V'Sarguma Naharda. The Gemara says that Bavel, and specifically the city of Naharda, which is a city where Shmuel lived, that city was considered to be a border city. So if the non-Jews came and surrounded the city of Naharda, even if all they wanted was money, you would be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos and attack them on Shabbos in order to prevent that from happening. Darash Rabbi Dostai Demin Biri, May Dichsiv Vayagidu L'David Lemor Hinei Flishtim Nelchamim B'Ki'ila V'Heim Shosim as Hagaranos. The pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel that someone told David HaMelech that the Plishtim are waging war against the city of Keilah, which we'll see as a border city, and they're robbing or they're plundering all the threshing floor, all the grain. So the Gemara says, Tana Keilah ira smucha l'sfar haisam. The city of Keilah was next to a border town. The Plishtim only wanted to rob and steal and plunder all of the grain from the city. So David asks Hashem, should I go and defend and attack the Plishtim who are attacking the city of Keilah? And Hashem says, yeah, you should go and save the city. So the Gemara says, what was David asking asking Hashem exactly? Ilema ishare I asur hare beis dino shashmol haramasikayim. If David was asking Hashem if it's permissible for him to be mechalel Shabbos, to go and attack the city of Keilah, why does he need Hashem to answer that question? There was a bezdin around, the bezdin of Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel Hanavi can answer that question for him, right? Questions on halacha are typically referred to the bezdin, not to the Urim Vitum. You don't usually ask Hashem what the halacha is. You usually go to the bezdin. So the Gemara says, no, ela imatzlach ilo matzlach, dekonami, dechsev, lechvi, hikisa, baflishtim, vahushato es Keilah, shmamina. Rather, the question he was asking was whether they would be successful in their endeavor, in their battle, and Hashem said, you will. You'll attack the city and you will be successful. Okay, let's just go to the next Mishnah. Misha yasha baderech v'amad v'ra'a harehu samach le'ir hova v'lo hoisa kavanaso l'chach lo yikanez divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer yikanez. Amar Rabbi Yehuda maisa haya v'nichnas Rabbi Tarfon below miskavin. So the Mishnah has a machlokes about the following scenario about a person who was was traveling on the road. He was sitting on the road and he looks up and he realizes that he's within the tchum of a city and Shabbos already started, but he had no cognizance of that fact beforehand. In other words, he wasn't intentionally going to create a makom shvisa to say I want to establish Shabbos here. That was not within his mind frame. It just turned out, just happened to be that he was within the tchum Shabbos. So the question is that good enough? Is that enough to establish a makom shvisa? So according to Rameir, that is not good enough. Rameir says you have to have, you know, actual kavana of what you're doing. You have to be cognizant of the fact that you're there. Whereas according to Rabbi Huda and according to the story about Rabbi Tarfon, the Mishnah says, no, that as long as you're physically within the confines of the Tchum, that is good enough. So says the Gemara. Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Huda, Maisa b'Rabbi Tarfon, Shehayim Mahalich Baderech, V'chashchalo, V'lon Chutz L'ir Shachris. So there was a story with Rabbi Tarfon where he was traveling on the road and it got dark, and he ended up spending the night out. In other words, he basically slept in the streets, essentially. L'shachris mitzahu roi vakar. That morning, the next morning, the shepherds found him. Amrulo Rabbi Harei Ha'ir Lefanecha Hikanis. So he said, so the shepherds came to Rabbi Tarfon and they said, Rabbi Tarfon, the city's right there. Just go into the city. So the Gemara says, So Rabbi Tarfon walked into the city and he went to the Beis Medrash and gave shir there the whole day. So doesn't that imply that even though he wasn't doing it intentionally, he wasn't planning to be in the city on Shabbos, but the fact that he was within the confines of the Tchum, that was good enough? So says the Gemara, no, Misham Raya Hashem Abalibo Haisa, O Beis HaMedrash Muvla Basoch Tchumo Haya. So the Gemara says that's not necessarily a Raya. The Gemara says that either you could say that he was intending to enter the city beforehand, right? That's one possibility. Or you could argue that maybe maybe the Beis Medrash was within his 2,000 amos anyway. So if the Beis Medrash that he entered was within his 2,000 amos, then he would be justified in walking there anyway. Okay. So let's